He knows how to get you to those things. The problem is, in our own thinking, we believe that God is taking us the wrong direction because that's not how we would do it.
Well, that's not how I would do it.
Well, that's, you're not God.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is How God Speaks and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're going to be talking about how God speaks. How God speaks. Please, everyone, stand for the reading of God's holy word. How God speaks. Key verse is going to be Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. I'm reading out of the New International Version. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will anoint me today to speak your words, God. I pray that whoever needs to hear something today, that you will open their ears and their heart, God, so that your word may penetrate them, Lord. And not only hear your words, God, but walk your words, God. In your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I've been digging into the Word of God, like I started out to say. Digging into the Word, and God's Word has been digging into me. Digging into me. I love God's word. I love God's word. So we got some points we're going to make here, okay? First of all, God speaks to his people. Hear me what I'm saying. God speaks to his people. When a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Ghost comes to reside in them. And the Holy Ghost will interpret the Word of God to that person. There ain't no study Bible in the world that's ever going to be able to have you understand God's Word as well as the Holy Ghost. There ain't no preacher man that can preach it better than the Holy Ghost. And when God speaks, he's speaking to his people. God is not sitting around trying to preach to the unsaved. They can't hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice and they know me, Jesus said. But the people who are not his sheep, the ones who are not saved, they don't have the Holy Ghost and they don't hear the Lord talking. They might hear the words, but they don't get the meaning. Psalms 32, verse 8, I will instruct you. Who's going to instruct you? Amen. Come on, guys, let's hear it. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Praise God. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise, because God personally says, I will instruct you. You can't get a better teacher than God. You cannot get a better teacher than God. I will instruct you and I will teach you. I will teach you. Who wants to learn something new about God? Guess what? When you start learning stuff about God, you start learning stuff about yourself. You know what he taught me? I need a Savior. I can't do it on my own. James, you're not perfect, but it's okay because Jesus is perfect and he's with you and he's inside you. Amen. Through him, I am made perfect. Hallelujah. God sees me with no impurities. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. The way you should go? Who's going to tell you which way you should go? God. How is he going to tell you that? Through his holy word. He didn't write this book for nothing. He's got instructions for you. He's got instructions for me. I will counsel you. Got a problem? Don't know which way to turn? Got emotional things going on inside your heart? Can't control your emotions? Can't control your impulses? You got a great counselor. It's called Jesus. And he's here to counsel you. He's here to instruct you. Guess what else he's doing? What does Scripture say? He's watching over you. Even when you're not looking, God's looking out for you. Suddenly you're walking along and you're feeling despair and you don't know which way to turn and somebody invites you to church. How'd I get here? God watching after you. Because see, sometimes people find themselves in trouble and they don't always hear what God's trying to tell them. And they find themselves in a circumstance that lines up with the Bible. And they still don't understand how God is working in their lives. And I've said this a million times. God is less concerned with your circumstances than he is with your position with him. Now hear me on this. Of course, God cares if you have financial problems, health problems, emotional problems, mental problems. Yes, he cares about all of that. But he cannot deal with any of that until he is dealing with you on a personal level. And in order for him to deal with you on a personal level, you got to start hearing God. You got to start hearing God with your heart. I know an atheist that's got the Bible memorized. He can tell me any scripture in the Bible that you ask him to tell you. He's got it down pat. And he can give you a good argument on creation versus Darwinism. He can argue with you real good because he knows the Bible. But he's got no heart of God in him. He has not got it in his heart. He does not. He's not hearing from God because he's not believing in God. God speaks to his people. God speaks to us through his word. Psalms 119, verse 105. I always like to prove my point with the word of God. So you know I'm just not up here making this stuff up. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. What is that telling us in this scripture? It means that when you're walking around and you can't see where you're going, God's got a light for you. And that light is his word. It will illuminate the path in front of you and it will say, look, this is where I have lit it up for you. This is where you go. If this is what my word tells you to do, then do it. But if you see the darkness around the edges of the word, the places you shouldn't go, don't step into the dark. Don't step into the dark. You follow what I'm saying? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. If you got a light on your feet, you're not going to stumble in the dark. But too many times I see Christians stumbling along. Why? Because they're not reading their Bible. And if they are, they're not applying their Bible. Look, we're supposed to meditate on the Word of God. He did this for our own good. He did this to give us an instructional manual for our lives. So why don't we use it more? He'd keep you out of trouble if you would read this stuff. God will keep you out of trouble. He will illuminate your path. Which way do I go from here? What does the Word of God say about where you should go? Amen? What does the Word of God say? It's easy to quote Scripture, but what about what God is saying to you on a personal level? You see what I'm getting at? It's more than just memorizing verses. You got to have this stuff in your heart. Jesus says people praise him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. Did you know that in Jesus' day, that to be a religious leader, you had to memorize the first five books of this Bible by memory? You had to be able to recite the entire five books of the law. I can't do that. I don't have it memorized like that. But when Jesus showed up, the very people who memorized his words are the ones who got him crucified through the Romans. They knew the word of God, but they didn't know God because they were not hearing God in his word. Somebody following me? Anybody out there understand what I'm saying today? We got to hear the Lord. God speaks to us through divinely called ministers. The holy men that God puts in your life are there to instruct you if you have a teachable spirit. If you have a spirit that don't want to learn, then you ain't going to learn nothing from these people. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Understand that God appoints leaders. I did not appoint myself to pastor. God appointed me. And he's got something to say through me. Not because I'm special, but because he's special. Because I count myself as nothing. I'm like, Lord, how could you be using me? And he says, because I'm good. You got to be special and extra good to use somebody as messed up as me. Amen. I should be a testimony to people. Amen. God speaks to us through providential means. Listen to this. In his heart, this is Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Now, what this means is that when you're a child of God, you could be planning stuff in your own head about how you're going to do something in your life, how you're going to go one direction. And then God puts on the brakes and says, no, you're not. Because that's no good for you. And some of us think, well, my dreams are shattered, God. But God, he could see around the corner, and you can only see to the corner. And there are some turns you shouldn't take in life because God knows what's around that corner. He knows what's down the road, and you don't. How many of you know that you're not hearing from God when you're struggling and you feel conviction in your heart? Now, I'm not talking about trials and tribulations. I'm talking about when you feel a conviction in your heart, you know you're doing something wrong that God has told you not to do, and you're doing it anyways. Somebody out there hearing me? You can feel that little twinge. You're like, I don't care, God. I'm going to do it anyways. You can't tell me what to do. Yeah, well, he's not doing it to be a bully. He's doing it to help you. God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I said in the intro, right? God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. See, now the devil is going to come to you and he's going to lie to you. And you know it's the devil coming because it does not line up with the word of God. If somebody's telling you to do something and it's not in the word of God, it's the devil talking. It may not look like the devil in front of you, but the devil's influencing that conversation. The evil one has come to lie, steal, and destroy. Okay? But the Holy Spirit is what we need and what we have. But are we tuned into the Holy Spirit? You know, there's such thing as called free will. Free will. It can get into the way of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. We have to be careful about being too proudful to learn something or to obey God. Secondly, God speaks with his people. See, you can't have a conversation unless you're talking with somebody. Right now, I'm talking to you. This is a one-sided conversation. Okay? There's no real two-way exchange of communication here. But God will also speak with his people. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Hear me out. God just doesn't want to talk to you all day long. He wants you to talk back as well. That's where the word fellowship comes in. See, if you are not a saved person, if you are not a Christian, you do not belong to the holy family of God. And there is no fellowship with God because God cannot be in fellowship with sin. Somebody out there hearing me. When Jesus Christ is accepted as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, not around you, not next to you, in you. That's intimacy. The Holy God of all is dwelling inside of you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Praise God, he's fellowshipping with you. If that doesn't mean something to somebody in this audience today, I'm going to have to pray for you. Because for God to come down and to fellowship with us, that's a miracle by itself. Because God is all holy, and only through his Son, Jesus Christ, can we be in fellowship with him. Because he washes us clean, and we are sinless in the eyes of God. We are forgiven in the eyes of God. We are clean, and he can now fellowship with us. He does not have to depart away from us. Sin can be nowhere near God any more than a shadow could be cast upon the sun. Sin cannot be cast upon God. He'll consume it like a light does to a shadow. Amen? God speaks with his people. God speaks as we exercise fellowship with him. Look at your neighbor and say, I need to exercise fellowship. For those of you who have a wife or a husband, or you have a relationship with somebody, try not to exercise fellowship with them and see how that goes. Tell your wife you're not going to talk to her for a week or two. No, don't do that. I'm using this as an example. Try doing that with your spouse and see how the relationship falls apart. Now listen, James chapter 4, verse 8, come near to God and he will come near to you. People say, I can't feel God. Well, where have you been? Well, I've been out doing my thing, living life. And I never feel God around me. I feel him around you, pastor, and some people in the church I feel. But I don't feel him. Where have you been? I told you I've been living my life. Oh, you've been living your life for self and not living your life for Jesus. You got to exercise fellowship. Yes, that means picking up your Bible and reading what God has to say. It's for your own good. Take your medicine. That's what you tell your children, right? They're sick and the doctor gives them medicine and you make them take it, don't you? Now, God doesn't make us take our medicine. And without the medicine of God, without the word of God, the soul gets sick. You're going to get sick spiritually and the devil's going to move in. He's going to start manipulating you because there's no fellowship with Jesus Christ. And then when you do pick up the Bible, you're so concerned about what it says pertaining to other people's lives that you're not even reading it for yourself anymore. I know the neighbor down the road that could use this scripture. Then why isn't that neighbor down the road reading it and you are? Because God is trying to show you something about yourself that needs to be fixed for your own good. Not because he wants to condemn you, but because he wants to help you. I didn't know how messed up I was until God started healing me and I could look back in hindsight and say, thank you, God. I didn't know I was that sick. And his answer to me was, you still are sick until the day Jesus comes back. Because that's when our glorified bodies come. And we're made righteous in front of God in body and whole. Right now, we're in a body that's subjective to the world and the fallen world and the temptations of the world. And our minds need to be renewed because we are sick with the thoughts of sin in this world. This world is a fallen world and our minds are polluted with the world. But when Jesus comes back, he is going to make everything new. Amen. God speaks with us as a friend. Now listen to me. Some people see God as this foreboding person who just wants to point his finger at you all day long and say, thou shalt not. But listen, God is your friend. God is your friend. What do you think this church is all about? This church isn't to invite people and to condemn them. This church is about upholding one another and loving one another and being friends to one another. We all have to do our part. I spoke about this in the beginning about tithing. If you love your church and you love attending, do whatever you can to keep it going, to keep it growing. Because you know what? In doing so, you are growing spiritually. But listen, God speaks with us as a friend. He cares about you. He cares more about you than you do about yourself. What do you mean, Pastor? I care an awful lot about myself. Come on, you know some of you think that. I do sometimes. I say, how can God care more about me? Because if I had control, these are the things that I'd be getting. Let's be honest. But seriously speaking, what I'm trying to say is God knows what's best for you. And he knows how to get you to those things. The problem is, in our own thinking, we believe that God is taking us the wrong direction because that's not how we would do it.
Well, that's not how I would do it.
Well, you're not God. You see what I mean? You might ask God to be a minister or a preacher or a pastor. Lord, if it's your will, let me be a pastor. And suddenly all of these things come into your life that are hardships, pain, suffering. And you're saying, oh, God, I don't understand. I prayed to be a pastor. I prayed to be a minister. I prayed to serve you. And now look, all these trials and tribulations are befalling me. I don't understand, God. If it was up to me, I would just give my, I just get the money and open a church. Well, the church doesn't lead the people. God appoints people to lead the people. And if you don't suffer some things, you can't lead people through their suffering. And that's what God taught me. You're suffering for righteous sake. You're going through this because you're going to know how somebody else feels when they're going through it. But I don't like this, God. Nobody said you had to like it. Jesus wasn't very popular. Oh, he had people following him, but when he started talking about the things of God, they started dropping off one by one. He was left with the original 12, and one of them was the devil. Somebody hearing me out there? God speaks with us as a companion. Ever been lonely? Ever been sad? Ever been down? And nobody can help you. God speaks with us as a companion, for he has promised never to leave nor forsake you. I have been let down by people. And the biggest letdown in people have been me. I have let myself down. I have let myself down more than anybody else has let me down. I have set myself with such high expectations of myself that I have let myself down. I have failed myself and people have failed me, but God has never failed me. Even when I thought things weren't going the way they should go, I realized in the end that it was God's plan in order to get me there. See, we're always worried about where we're going and how we're going to get there, but God just wants you to understand that there's something inside of you that's got to be changed in order to hold on to the promised land that you want to be delivered to. Because he can give you the things you're praying for, but that don't mean you can hold on to them. You'll just mess it up like you did the first time. God's got to make a change in us before he can make a change in your circumstance. Otherwise, you can't hold on to what he's given you. You want to keep it this time. When God blesses you, it's a blessing of everlasting. It's not temporal. He wants you to hold on to the things and not lose them. But in order to do that, you got to change. Third, God speaks through his people. Through his people. Listen to this. Matthew 10, verse 20. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. When a holy man comes up to you and it checks up with the Bible, guess what? That's God talking through that holy man. If what I'm saying to you is penetrating your heart today and it lines up with the Bible, that's God talking to you. Don't give me the credit. Don't look at James. I don't want you to look at me. I want you to look at Jesus, because he's the one that's never going to leave nor forsake you. He's the one that's never going to fail you. I am a human being. I am not perfect. I do make mistakes. I don't get it right every time. Amen? If I did, I wouldn't need a Savior. I have the gift that God has given me, and that gift is all of his and none of mine. So God speaks through his people. How many times has God spoken through you, his people, this week? And what I mean by that is, are you witnessing? Are you coming to church and just filling up with the word of God and keeping it all for yourselves? Because there's somebody else out there that needs to hear about Jesus. Somebody had to tell you about church. Somebody had to tell you about Jesus. We're all commanded to allow the Lord to speak through us in the Great Commission and to speak God's holy word. Ministers and teachers should ask God's direction, believing without belief. I don't care how much of the Bible you think you know. You don't have belief, it ain't going to work for you, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You don't believe that the doctor can cure you, you're not going to go to the doctor. And if you go to the doctor and you still don't believe he can cure you, you're not going to take the medicine that he gives you. And even if you take the medicine, your own mind can play tricks on you and you can still feel sick even though you're cured. Does that make sense? Believing. Ministers and teachers should ask God's direction, believing that God speaks through them when they preach and teach. Some preachers get out there and they think, I'm doing all the talking because I got something to say. I don't want to talk to you. I want God to talk through me to you. Christians should ask for God's guidance, believing He speaks through them when they witness for Christ. And there's people right now on your job that don't know Jesus. There's people out on the street that don't know, they don't know Jesus. They could use a few bucks if they're down on their money. They could use a warm coat if they're cold. But you know what? All of that is temporal if they don't have Jesus, because they will not know how to reach God. The only way we reach God is through Jesus Christ. And some people don't know that. Some people will look at their circumstances and say, I'm no good for God, and God will never have me. God doesn't want me. I'm too dirty for God, too sinful. And that's when somebody walks into their lives and they said, you know what, Lord, just give me the strength right now to witness to this man. I just pray, God, that you will speak through me. And they come up and they say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you how Jesus washes away all of your sins and that you are white as snow in front of God. What? I didn't know it worked that way. I thought I had to be a good person. No. Your good works are nothing but filthy rags in front of God when it comes to salvation. You're never going to be good enough for God concerning salvation. We are to do good works, but not to work our way to salvation. Our good works are our product of our salvation. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Miracles begin to happen when we believe that God is saying the right thing at the right time and place through us. God's got something to say. And we have to believe that when He starts to speak, it's the right time. Some preachers don't want to say certain things to people because they might run them out of church. I've known preachers, oh, don't say that, James, because they won't come back. So you let a person lie in ignorance? You have got to believe that God's word will penetrate a person's heart, and He is ultimately responsible for what comes out of your mouth, provided that you're in sync with God's word.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.